I guess I like to plunge myself in. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come to this fountain, so rich and sweet. I like that fountain, don't you? Hallelujah. A fountain that's been drawn from the blood of Emmanuel's veins. And sinners that plunge beneath that flood will lose all their guilty state. Hallelujah to His wonderful name this morning. I tell you, God's been good to us, hasn't He? No doubt about it, born in America. She may not be all she used to be, but I'm going to tell you something. She ain't all that some of them are right now either. I'm praising God for it. Amen. I see Brother Robert back there fumbling around his necktie. Must be telling me I ain't got a microphone on. Amen. We'll get that on right now. And I forgot it in here one week. Was it last week? I done slap forgot it, didn't I? Sometimes you can get carried away with, you know, when you get your mind on the Lord. And you forget some things. I was over there still thinking about verse 3, and y'all was saying verse 4. Amen. I was still trying to get in that fountain.
Yeah.
Good to go back to it every now and then. Journey back to the cross. Nothing wrong with that. I like to get back there every now and then myself. Well, hallelujah. Let's learn our Bibles this morning to Psalm number 40. Psalm number 40. The message of thought God gave me out of this particular psalm. And I want to try to preach on it this morning if God be my helper. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you here in the morning hour. Psalm number 40. And I want to read the first four verses here in the morning hour. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now may the Lord add His blessing on that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's bow together and pray, and ask the Lord's help here in the morning hour. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful now for what we've been able to sing this morning in hymns and songs, and now we're in the Psalms, and we thank You so much for that. I pray that You'd open up our hearts and give us great understanding today. Give us great light for our lives. Help us to walk in that light. For Lord, if we walk in the light, we'll never stumble. There'll never be any darkness there because light always overcomes darkness. I want to thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be in church and for the people You've sent our way. Thank You for our church family and the privilege that we have today to gather together in the house of God. And Lord, do our best to learn from Thy Word. I pray for Your divine presence in this place today. We can do nothing, Lord, without You. And I pray for Your presence that we might worship You also, that we might offer praise and adoration to our God who loved us and died for us, yea, and rose again the third day and ascended back to the right hand of the Father and is seated there now to make intercession for us. Lord, I'm glad today the Bible said, because You live, we can live also. I pray now that You would anoint me with that spirit of power. God, that You'd fill me with the Holy Ghost and with wisdom this morning, with knowledge from the Scriptures. I'd ask You, Lord, to provide the liberty that we need to preach today. May You overcome any foul spirit. May You overcome, Lord, the laziness of our own flesh, and help us, I pray, to be in a victorious spirit this morning in the house of God. And we pray You'll save sinners and revive Your people. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated this morning. Now, I want to try by the help of God this morning to preach on a thought out of these four verses. And Lord willing, I'll use all four of these verses this morning. And in the first point that I make, I'll be using a number of scriptures. If I can get turned to them and read them all, they're quite lengthy, and I'll ask you to bear with me in that. But I want to preach for a while this morning on the portrait of deliverance. the portrait of deliverance. I believe I said in the bulletin that if a painter could paint the portrait of salvation, it would be one of the most beautiful works of art that man could set his eyes upon. And when I talk about the portrait of salvation, I'm talking about the portrait of deliverance. Exactly what would you and I see if we could see today the portrait of our deliverance, where we were, the life that we were in, what we had been overcome with, the sin that had surrounded us, and at the same time see our Lord Jesus condescending in great love, as the choir young people sang about this morning, and in love lifting you and I out of the miry clay. In love this morning, setting our feet upon a rock. In love this morning, establishing our goings. If you please, in love this morning, delivering us from the power of sin that was in our lives. I'll tell you, it'd be one of the most beautiful pictures that we could ever look upon, to see a sinner saved by the marvelous grace of God. I believe that's what we find in these four verses that I read, is an absolute perfect portrait of God delivering a sinner from the very depths of his depravity. I want to say again, from the very depths of his depravity, and elevating him out of that horrible pit, even out of that miry clay, and setting him on something solid in life, and establishing his going in this life, in this world that you and I are living in today. Oh, hallelujah to God. Now, let me say about three things before I get into the message. I want to say, first of all, that David is the author of this psalm. And there's no doubt that somewhere in David's life, he possibly felt as he wrote in this particular passage of Scripture, that he was in a narrow place, that he was being crowded in, that he was in a horrible pit, that he was in the miry clay, and the more that he struggled, it seemed like the deeper that he got himself into that clay. I'd say, me and you probably felt that way at times in our life. Seemed like everything was caving in on us and we absolutely couldn't find our way out of it. But David said he waited patiently upon the Lord. And the Lord inclined unto his cry. And not only inclined unto his cry, but he heard him. And in hearing him, God delivered him from that condition that he was in. Now I want to say, secondly, I believe we find here a picture of our Lord Jesus as he's being nailed to the cross. And the sins of his people being laid upon him, and how that he felt that he was sinking in the miry clay, even down into the very depths and the jaws of death itself, and yet he felt the Father's presence there in delivering him out of that when he overcome the cross and overcome a sin and overcome the devil and overcome the grave and come out of that grave with victory in his heart for you and I. Boy, and I'll tell you, that's a grievous place to be in. I can't imagine how the soul of the Lord Jesus felt as he was, the sins of you and I were laid upon him. And the cloud of darkness came between him and the Father. And for a moment of time, being cut off from fellowship with the Father, and even cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, oh, I won't say that the Son finally broke through. And when that body gave way to death, my friend, I'm telling you that God Almighty did deliver His Son. 3 days in the heart of the earth, but He came out of the grave, my friend. And He brought salvation to you and I. But I want to say, thirdly, I believe we find here we can apply this to every sinner that has ever been saved by the good grace of God. Oh, I'm going to say, how conviction will make a man feel. Now, I'm going to tell you, a Holy Ghost conviction doesn't really bring a lot of joy when it's on us. But if you've really been saved, you know exactly what I'm talking about. A convention will bring a sinner to a place where he finds absolutely no help in himself. Just like that man that took his journey from Jericho and he fell among the thieves and they stripped him and robbed him, and the priest and the Levite passed by and he was left wounded and dying in that ditch and could not help himself. Here is a man, a picture of a man that can find no help in himself. I won't tell you, anytime you think you can help yourself, you are in bad shape. No sinner can pull himself up by his bootstraps. And I want to interject something right there. Right there is one reason that it ought to bring great joy to our hearts and bring laudation to our lips. For the Son of God, my friend, was the only one that could reach down into that horrible pit out of the miry clay and deliver you and I as a sinner. You ain't going to deliver yourself from sin. Adam fell, and consequently everybody fell right on down through Adam. Red, yellow, black, white, they're all dead in trespasses and sin. They're all depraved, they're dead in trespasses and sin. I looked that word up this morning to make sure I knew what I was talking about. That word dead in trespasses and sin means a corpse. Absolutely dead, ladies and gentlemen, a corpse. No breath, no life, no ability. That's exactly where we were before God saved us. Now I want to say that in my own life, I was like that woman that spent all she had on physicians and just grew worse and never got any better. That's exactly how this man was and how you and I were. The more we struggled with sin, tried to get out of it and overcome it, the worse shape we got ourselves in. Ain't that right? Seemed like the more we did, the worse shape we got. And the hand of God was so heavy upon you and I. I'm telling you, friend, God's hand was heavy upon us. And we found ourselves in a hopeless, helpless situation. But out of nowhere, the unseen hand of God's amazing grace reached down into that pit and rescued our souls. Lifted us up, set our feet on a rock, hallelujah, and established our going, and give us a song in our hearts, amen, even praise unto our God. Are you listening? I know how we see a perfect portrait of deliverance, how God delivers a sinner, and only God can deliver a sinner. Now I will say this also. When I'm talking about salvation, I want you to understand that it's an all-inclusive word. That it's just not a simple one-time act that God does something for a sinner. But salvation is an all-inclusive word. And it's referring to every virtue of God. His mercy, His grace, His love, His power. Every virtue that He has in delivering sinners. And He don't just deliver us from death. I want to say that He keeps on delivering. And keeps on delivering. It's not just one time. I'll tell you, if God ever forsook you and I today, we'd fall right back into the same kingpin we had God found the sin, my friend. He just keeps on delivering. I heard Brother Brown say in the meeting at Brother Elliott's, he said that a lot of people brag about a particular time when they were saved. He said, that's great. He said, I know the place and the time God saved me. But he said, salvation and deliverance is not in the past tense, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the present tense. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Hey, that's right. It's not in the past. It's not so much what God done for you back then. What is God doing today in your life? It's what you got back there still working in your life today. If what you got back there is not working today, you didn't get nothing back there. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. Now, a portrait of salvation. I want to say, first of all, and I've just got four little points and we're going. I believe it's all you can take today. First of all, I see the author of our salvation. The author of our salvation. For the Bible, in our text, in the verses, we find the word there mentioned, He, three times. It was in verse 1, He inclined
unto me. And in verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And in verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my heart. I want to say, my friend, right there is the author of our salvation. And I want to repeat it again, that no man can save himself, buddy. But right there, he done it, he done it, he done it. And if you'll ever get a hold of the fact that he done it in your life, I'll tell you, it'll put some joy in your heart that the devil cannot rob you from you and deprive you of. But he done it. Get a hold of what he said in Ecclesiastes and what the Lord doeth, he does forever. Woo! Let them Armenians suck on that one a while, buddy. What he does forever. That's right. Somebody said, you believe once saved, always saved. Yeah, if you get saved. Better believe it, dude. What God does, he does forever. And I don't say this, I won't get ahead of myself, but what he does, what he starts, he finishes. Amen. Now them Armenians like tell you you can lose it. But I'm going to tell you that man in that pit never had it. And he still doesn't have it. It's the Lord that continues to deliver a man through his life. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Now I say the author of our salvation. When I say the word author, I mean in the way it's used. By the way, it's only used, the author is only used 4 times in the Scriptures. Only 4 times is all it's ever used in the Word of God. And it literally means one who brings or causes to come forth. It is a compiler, or it is one who wrote the book. Oh, come on in the house, boys and girls. I want to say, as the author of our salvation, he is the one that wrote the book. Hallelujah to God. He wrote the book all about our salvation. Now, I want to read this verse. I'm just about ready to leave it out. I want to read this verse in the book of, I'm trying to get ahead of myself again. He wrote the book. He's the author of our salvation. Hebrews 5. No, I'm not ahead of myself. Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. I told you I want to read a lot of verses in this particular thought. Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. And I don't have time to read them all. I wouldn't have got to have time to read the whole passage. But Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author. There you are. The author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In other words, brother, I'm telling you, he is the first. He is the author of our salvation. He compiled that salvation. He put it together and wrote it down in a book and gave it to you and I. Everything we need to know about how to be saved and get the heavens in a book. You get a hold of that, he wrote the book. You believe that, don't you? Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you know that? John 1:1. In the beginning was what? What do you find in a book besides words? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, I want you to come on in the house. I don't want to drown you right here, okay? But that word, Word, in the beginning was the Word, even takes in the very thought of God. Hey, come on, listen to me now. Don't nobody leave me. You ever heard of anybody writing a book and didn't sit down and think about what they were going to write before they wrote it? And man, it'd be a fool just to pick up a pen and just start writing. It's a lot like a lot of these preachers say, well, I don't believe in studying. I don't believe in outline. All you got to do is get up and open your mouth and God will fill it. He generally does with hot air. I'm going to tell you, I like to give a little thought to what I'm going to preach. I'll tell you, before I ever wrote down this outline, I sat and meditated on it and thought about it and looked up scriptures in regard to it. I had a thought about what I was going to preach before I ever wrote it down on paper. And I'm telling you, God had a thought. Amen. Before he ever went to writing a book. And come on in the house, I don't want to bury you too deep this morning. But if he had a thought of what he was writing on, I'm going to tell you, every author of every book has a thought, not only how that book's going to begin, but how it's going to end. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that He knows the beginning from the ending this morning. God knew how she's going to wind up before He ever sat down and wrote the first part of it. Somebody said, how you know that? All you got to do is read the book of Revelation. Amen. That author knew what he was going to do in the book of Revelation before he ever sat down and wrote the book. So He is the author of our salvation. Stay right with me now, number two. I want to say not only did he wrote the book, but He wrought the work. Oh, yes, as the author of our salvation, He wrought the work. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean? Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here we go now. Look in unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, friend, He wrought the work. Oh, yes, sir. He done it all. He sat down in forethought and wrote a book how He was going to deliver sinners and knew that it would take a certain work of grace to do that. And then He came from heaven to earth and wrought the work Himself to bring that salvation to you and I. Anybody getting a hold of anything today? Is it rolling off the end of my nose? I hope not. Hallelujah. He wrote the book and He wrought the work. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 1. Yes. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, yes, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Get verse number 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, the Bible says, He sat down on the right hand of God on high. I'm telling you, He by Himself, friend, purged our sins. He not only wrote the book, but He wrought the work. He's the author of our salvation today. Amen to God. I'm going to tell you something. If God hadn't given us a book and sent His Son into the world to die for you and I, every man from Adam right on down, my friend, those that are dead be in hell, and those that are alive be headed that way. They wouldn't be a thing you could do to avoid it. They wouldn't do a thing you could do to escape it. Amen. People need to realize hell's real. I went to that meeting up with Brother Smith, me and the boys. I took them downtown, showed them Andy Griffith's jail and his old car. Went and showed them the barber shop and snappy lunch and one thing and another. Then I went to change the oil in my car. I pulled into a little quick loop place up there and got rid of changing oil in my car. Of course, they got a television. Everywhere you're going more, they got to have a television on somewhere. And they're giving the news. And they're talking about the final Fabulous Four. Who's going to be in the four? The big four, you know. Down in Atlanta, I guess it is. In that ball game. And they're interviewing people, and it's the guys are saying this, and these guys are saying that. But, oh, I'm going to tell you, I believe they interviewed the wrong man. That showed an old black gentleman standing out on the street. That old gentleman had on a bright red coat, but in the next time, I'm telling you, he was doing it upright. In his right hand, he had a King James 1611 Bible. In his left hand, he had a cup of water. Oh, he was saying this, there ain't no water in hell. 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 That newspaper man came over and asked him, said, sir, said, what do you think about the blue devils? He said, I don't know anything about no blue devils. He said, as far as I know, there ain't but one devil. Amen. And said, by the way, sir, he is headed for hell.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that interview ended abruptly, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen. I have to give that black man credit. He was out there doing all he could do.
Yes.
Trying to keep folks out of hell.
Yes.
He realized that Bible and the man that wrote that book is the only hope of sin. manner hath, avoiding the lake of fire. You better hear me well. Without God, you're going there. And without God, you can't get out of there. You're in a horrible pit in the mire clay, and you're going deeper all the time, son. One of these days, the slime will slip in over the top of your head, and you'll be lost for an eternity in that pit. You know what I thought of coming home? I was thinking about hell and what that old man was preaching. And I was thinking about it on the way home from down there. I got all wrapped up in my thoughts. You know what us preachers ought to do? I think all preachers ought to get wrapped up in that thought like God done when he wrote that book. Amen. Whatever preacher ought to do before he preaches a message. But I got thinking about hell and what hell was going to be like. What is hell really going to be like, brother? Brother Albert Harden asked me down there and said, "Preacher, what do you think heaven's going to be like?" He said, "A lot of people are talking about things about heaven, what they're going to see and what they're going to do." He said, "I've read the Bible and I don't find a lot of it in the Bible." Now, I'll be honest, that book don't tell us a whole lot about what we're going to do in heaven. And that does say some things about heaven and some things about hell. But I'm going to tell you, I got thinking about hell, and I thought about the hell of hell. What is really going to be the hell of hell? So I said, "Oh, it'll be the worms. Oh, it'll be the fire down there. It'll be an eternity in fire with worms caught in your body eating up your flesh." And I'm going to tell you what. I got thinking, what is exactly hell? What is hell? My friend, you hear me, one hear me, this one, you never hear what nothing else I say today. But hell, the hell of hells, will be living for an eternity without God. And look here, when we think of a person living without God, we just think about the fact that God saves us. And God died to save us. And if we don't receive Him, then we die and go to that place where fire's at and where worms are crawling around. But you hear me well. Can you imagine getting a hold? I'm talking about living without God. You realize that sinners do not live without God today?
Amen. Amen.
I thought her too, boys. They're not lost. I mean, they're lost. They're lost, but they're not living. They are not living without God. God gives them the sunlight in the morning. And God gives them the rain to water the flowers. And God gives them food in their mouth. And God gives them air in their lungs. God gives man everything that man has. God created it all. He is the author of salvation. He created it all. But can you imagine when God withdraws His power from His creative acts? There'll be no sunlight, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be no air. There will be no cool breezes. There'll be no flowers. There'll be no trees. There'll be no green grass. There'll be nothing to eat and nothing to drink. There'll be absolutely nothing. Can you imagine living in an environment where there's nothing? I said nothing!
Man.
I'm going to tell you that's exactly what hell will be, buddy.
Yes, sir, for you.
Living in an environment with nothing. Nothing. That's how David felt in that psalm. Living in a pit with nothing. I don't hear him mention anything about the sun shining. I don't hear nothing about finding rest. I don't hear nothing about peace. I hear nothing about food. Nothing about water. He had nothing in that pit, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely nothing. Dying in hell without God and without hope. And the author of our salvation has purged our sins, son. He not only wrote the book, He wrote the word. Hallelujah to God. Now get a hold of this. As the author of our salvation, He wrote the book and He wrote the work. And I say this so often, and this y'all know it's going to hurt lip some of y'all, but He won the victory. Where I read in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Son, He won the victory for us. Oh, yes. He's there. But now get this. I'm going to show you. I've been meditating on that thought a little bit. He is the author and the finisher. What? Of our faith. Miss Sharon didn't say He's the author and the finisher of faith. The author and the finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
Paul said, "The faith I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, love me, and gave Himself for me." So I'm going to tell you what He's saying in that verse. He's saying He's the author, He's the beginner of our faith. That faith that we're living by as a saved sinner, a delivered sinner, as the author of salvation. He started our faith. And bless the Lord on them Armenian brethren out there that's listening. What He started, He will finish. He said, I started that great work of faith in your heart. And brother, I'll finish that work because I'm the author and I'm also the finisher of that faith. That's right. When He starts building, He don't stop until it's done. Come on now, y'all falling asleep. Am I listening? Am I getting any word today? Hallelujah. I'm trying to help us out. I want just to simply see what God's done for us. I believe we can see what God's done for us, get our eyes open a little bit to the magnitude of His grace and the beauty of holiness and the supremacy of God's love. I'm telling you, I believe it'll flood our hearts with joy and revive us. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. The author and the finisher of our faith. See, there the author. Where to put them now, boys? And the finisher.
Amen.
He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so I see there the author of eternal salvation. Amen. Listen carefully. I also see the awaiting sinner. Not only the author, I'm talking about a picture now. Let's get this picture in our mind. The portrait of deliverance. We see the author of salvation, He that started it all. And He that's going to finish it all. In that picture. But I want you to look at the awaiting sinner. It's not a very pretty picture. He's in a horrible pit. He is in miry clay.
Right.
Amen. He cannot get out. There's no way out. He is in a shaft that is too narrow for escape. The walls of that shaft are slick and slimy.
Amen.
That he can find nothing to get a hold of to pull himself up. And his footing is so full of mire that when he wriggles to get up, he only goes further down into the mire. And the mire of sin that he's living in. But look at this. He said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. He said, there ain't no need of wriggling and twisting and trying to escape on my own because it's too great for me. So that awaiting sinner, here's what he said he was going to do. He said, I'm just going to wait.
Amen.
Patiently.
Amen.
Upon the Lord. Get this now. What he says, and some of you may not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. He inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
That tells me that that sinner that's waiting on deliverance has a desire to be saved. That's right. He had a desire to be saved. If he did not want out, why did he call to God? My Bible tells me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, he waited in that pit patiently on God and cried to God, and God heard him. Oh boy, had a desire to get out of that mess. I wonder about sinners today don't have a desire to get out of the slime and the sin, the immorality and the ungodliness that they're living in our churches today.
Amen.
I've never in my life. Amen. Somebody said, where did he get that desire? God, the goodness of God leadeth a man to repentance. Jesus may have just showed him a little red light. Huh?
Yes.
I'm gonna say these fellows said God chose my foolishness to preach and save those that believe He has. Now I want you to hear me well. I thought through that a little while too, and the sister over there kind of was helping me with it. But I'm gonna tell you something. When preaching is done under the anointing power of God, that's what opens the eyes of sinners.
Amen.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Preaching opens their eyes. Now you hear me well. I've heard a whole lot. Come on now. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say now. I hear a whole lot of preaching about with truth. I hear a whole lot of preaching that is orthodox. That is, it's gun barrel straight, right down the line. It's truth. It's doctrine. And it's right doctrine. But you better hear me well while I'm saying what I'm getting ready to say to you, ladies and gentlemen. Truth without life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Buddy, I'm telling you, truth without life is like is like a law. Without grace, the law, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now I'm telling you, doctrine is wonderful, but doctrine without a touch of old-time Holy Ghost on it, friend, will only bring death in churches.
Well, I'm telling you, I've heard some preaching as this monotone, low-voiced. Bless God, don't raise your voice too loud. Don't get excited. Don't get too excited about Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm so fed up with that. They got their doctrine right, but they ain't got an ounce of life about it.
Amen.
Kind of got on a little bit up at Elliott's on Thursday night. Lord, put like this, me and Doc Brown got on a little bit. And one of the big name preachers that was there, his wife didn't show up Friday morning for service. Now I noticed when the big name preacher come in, instead of sitting on the third pew, he sat on the last one. And when his wife showed up just about lunchtime, about the time we broke and went to eat, told my wife said, I heard you were sick and couldn't make it this morning. She said, oh yes. She said, I knew it was coming last night. Said every time that it gets, there's a lot of noise in a church service like last night, I get a migraine headache. I just can't take all of the noise. Oh, but she said, I loved it and wouldn't miss it for nothing. Liar, liar. Your pants is on fire. Your nose is longer than a telephone wire.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what she said. I like the truth, buddy. I like her truth, but I don't want none of that Holy Ghost unction with it.
Amen.
You can take your truth without unction and run down the road with it, buddy. I like a little soup in my service, a little joy. Amen. A little bit of excitement. And if you don't like it or get to where you don't ever like it, you got the wrong man in this place, buddy.
Amen.
Well, I like it. Yay, man. Now I've got that off my chest.
Amen.
Don't settle like they're dead, twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Well, we've got the truth. Bless God, that's all you've got.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Listen to me carefully. Hallelujah. The awaiting sinner. His desire, the desire is in his cry. He said, my cry. You heard my cry. I know he had a desire, but oh, but look at his difficulty. How difficult it was. He said, I'm in a horrible pit and I'm in miry clay. Oh, I'm telling you right there's a difficulty, friend. He said, I can't get up. And if I can't get up, I can't get up. Right there's where it said, he. You better believe there's a difficulty in a man being saved, friend. He's in sin up to his eyeball. And sin is an offense to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Sin is not an offense necessarily to me or to somebody else. There are sins against individuals and sins against the church, I know. But I'm telling you, sin is an offense to God. When old David committed adultery, had Uriah killed, Psalm 51, when God came to him, when Nathan came to him and reminded him of his sin, and David began to confess his sin, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, sin is an offense against God. Oh, right, listen to me, buddy, and there's a sinner's difficulty. For a sinner to be saved, God must be pleased. God must be satisfied. Because you have offended God. You have trespassed. You have stepped over the mark. God said, there is a mark. Don't cross it. And sinners crossed over it. Missed the mark. Come on now. Wake up. Help me. You want me to jump up and down out here in the pews? I'm telling you, there's a difficulty, friends, when a sinner offends God. And God's got to be satisfied. He cannot be appeased. He must be satisfied. And he is only satisfied with the sacrifice of his son. I don't care what you do, how much money you give, how hard you work, how hard you pray, how many songs you sing in the choir, how often you come to church. I don't give a rip what you do. It will not satisfy God.
Amen. That's right.
And that miry clay become a difficulty. David said,
He inclined. He heard and inclined unto my cry. When old Jerome read that verse of Scripture in Matthew 5, 27, 28, 29, 30. Jerome down 365 feet down in that cave, down in that mine. Jerome said, Lord, it's not for my boss, but it's me in need, oh God.
Amen. Mm.
Couldn't get out without it. But God. God brought him out. I believe Brother Billy or Miss Gwen won. Sent me an email of a beachhead landing. Somebody, what did y'all sent that? Sometimes I'm telling you, it was a comical little thing about these soldiers on this amphibious craft, and they was headed for a beach landing. Boy, I mean, they had on all their gear, all their garb, but they was going to take that beachhead with a storm. And that craft, that amphibious craft, launched itself into the bank, and those people began to jump out over the top of that thing. And I'm telling you, when they got out, you know, it was a put-on deal, but they had mud there that deep. And those people squatted down in that mud, and I'm telling you, they wallered and floundered and could not get out. I'm telling you, the only way they got out is for somebody to throw out the lifeline. Well, I'm glad, thank God, an old sinner, God throws out the lifeline of the cross and calls us out of that mud, that slime. Sets our feet on a solid rock. Establishes our goal. Amen. I see the desire. I see the difficulty. I've already preached it. I see the deliverance, but I'm going to tell you something else. I've done preach that. He brought us up out, it says, or up on. He brought me up on. But I also see a direction, he said, and establish my goings. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. When God delivers a sinner, he don't just deliver him, stand him on that rock and say, see you later. He says, here's your direction. I want you to hear me well. It's an exact 180 degrees opposite from the direction you're traveling. And by the way, that's called repentance. I don't have time to get into all heaven. He turns. When God saves a man, God turns to a man. Then God turns the man to him. Hallelujah. Gives him a direction. I know some preachers ain't had any direction in their life and never will get it. You know why? They're trying to preach without God. They're lost. That's right, they're lost. They hip-hop here and they flip-flop over there and they jump here and they jump there and they don't know where God ever brings them and they're never satisfied know where they're at. Because they're lost, friend. I'm going to tell you something else. You take a sinner God saved, just an old sinner God saved, he'll give them a direction in life. That's right, buddy. He'll set you at the edge of the field and say, down there, is that fence post, son? Is your plowing point? Head toward it. He will establish. He will establish your going. That is step by step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's where I want you to go. I believe he'll direct you to the church. Well, now, Brother Hall, I'm going over here where they don't preach as hard as you. God didn't tell you to go over there. Well, I'm going over here where things ain't quite so rambunctious and rowdy. God didn't tell you to go over there.
Amen.
I'm going over here where they use NIV. God didn't tell you to go over there.
Amen.
I'm going over here where the preacher don't demand that I live right. You're looking at one preacher who's going to demand from the Word of God, from the Word of God, that you live right. I'm talking about establishing our goings, but he does it in holiness. No slipped on dresses. Right or down, slips are for sluts. That's right, I said it. Amen, I'm telling you, no slipped on dresses. And no low necklines. And no ball caps on backwards for the boys. And no baggy britches on the boys. Saw a boy down there walking down the street the other night like this. I thought, ain't that stupid? I said, if that boy ain't careful, he's going to cut off his air, buddy, and suffocate in them pants. Hind in a hanging out some more. sit down in a restaurant and her backside's all exposed, everybody. I ain't interested in looking. I passed a fellow up here and is working on this bridge. I believe Brother Steve back there is with me. He's squatted down like that, the ungodliest, most awful sight I've ever seen in my life.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, Island Ford Baptist Church is not going to be guilty of that. You hear me well. If you're a sinner, you tell me you're a sinner. And you can sit in these pews until God saves you. And I'm going to say, if you tell me you're saved by the grace of God and living right, and you're going to get up in that choir, no slits and no low necklines. Amen. And the men's going to have a right haircut and red right.
Amen.
I catch you in there, I'll pull you out. I'll embarrass the living daylights out of you.
Amen.
I'm going to have it. I'm talking about establishing our goings, but in it is a holy walk, a righteous walk. If you ain't in that and you can't see that, then you're lost.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
God establishes our going. Boy, it got quiet now. Oh, the shouting go to now, boy.
Amen.
Book.
Yep. Amen.
Need some. A couple of women come in up there the other day at Cracker Barrel down there where we was eating. Coming back, or God believe when he's going down there. That's my second home, Cracker Barrel.
It is?
Yeah.
You like it?
I like it, boys. Come walking in there and I'm telling you, I looked at that woman and I said, what is that? And they said, I said, honey, what is that? I said, that is the ugliest man I ever seen in my life. She said, honey, that's not a man, that's a woman. Okay. Some old man. Come in the Cracker Barrel up there yesterday. His head was as bald as an eagle. And he had enough hair sprout, and he had the back of it combed up like this, straight up over the top of his head. And he was Mr. Cool. So what I'm saying, he thought he was about 16 years old and made for every woman in the country. Amen to God. Are you listening to me? I told my wife, but one thing I did realize at Brother Smith, that Jesus ain't coming back near as soon as I've been telling y'all he's coming back. Might as well buckle her down. We got a long way ahead of us. He said he's coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle.
Amen.
I said he's got a long way to go on me, buddy. It's going to take a while to get them wrinkles ironed out.
Amen.
Are you listening? The direction God established, I'm going. Walk uprightly.
Amen.
That word literally means perpendicular, uprightly.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I also see the anchor that secures us.
Amen.
He said, and he set my feet upon a rock.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to get a hold of this. I know what time it is. Hallelujah to God. But I want you to get a hold of this. I've never seen a rock that can do this, but according to the Bible, that word rock means to hold.
Amen.
To hold. Now, I don't know how a man can stand on a rock and then hold it. But I want you to get a hold of this. Ooh, God help us. I'm about ready to have a running fit and run my head right through the wall. Right through the wall. That anchor, that'll hold us. Hey, that anchor is used only 4 times in the Bible. Hebrews 6:19 and 3 times in Acts 27. And the word literally means to bend or curve like an arm.
Amen.
Amen. You know how an anchor is shaped. Whew. I see why this anchor can hold us. You get a hold of this. There's your anchor, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the arms of the mighty God of glory. That anchor is like a curved arm. Hallelujah. Son, and I'm telling you, old brother Doug, who, hallelujah, in Sunday school this morning, done put the God put the grease on the axle, buddy, where it belongs. I'm telling you, the only place I can find those arms, the only place I can find that anchor that is curved like arms is on the cross. Woo! Hallelujah to God. There's the anchor that holds us today. Cast out the anchor, boys. Now I'm telling you, that cross is a rock. It's a rock. It's a rock. It'll hold you. And I thought about this. Them arms lies between the head, or on both sides of the head. Woo, and he's the head of the church.
Yep.
Y'all alive this morning? Can you help me, Brother Jerome? That's that anchor, buddy. Y'all ever seen a real Navy anchor? How it comes out like that? It goes up and then that line reaches up. And there he is on the cross. There's that anchor on the cross with arms nailed. And that anchor line sending from him to the veil in heaven. Which anchor we have? Hope.
Right.
Hope is an anchor that's both steadfast and sure for us.
Amen.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I hope y'all got some hope this morning. I've got hope in my God today.
Yes.
I was in a pit and had no hope in myself, but He brought me up out of the horrible pit. I set my feet on a rock, established my mind, and put a song in my mouth. Amen. I've got an anchor that'll hold there. I'm not running. I didn't come to town to run. You can tell the devil that.
Amen.
I didn't start pastoring here and managing that radio station back there to run when things got hard.
Amen.
I'm going to go on preaching against sodomites.
Amen.
Amen. Immorality, same-sex unions, and the whole bunch.
Amen.
Every bit of it. I'm going to go on preaching against liberal preachers.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what bothers me about. There'll be preachers gathering over at Frankfort tomorrow. Oh, they're dead against same-sex marriage now. They wouldn't have that at all in civil union. They're dead against that. Then they'll turn right around and go home, and their wives will put on a pair of breeches, and they'll put on a pair of Bermuda shorts, muscle shirts and tank tops and all that mess, chew tobacco, visit Hollywood, watch the television. Put the filth in there, set in front of the television probably today or tomorrow, whenever they're playing. Watch that mighty final four.
Amen.
Then talk about how holy they are.
Right.
Thank God for their support in that particular virtue. But I'm telling you, friend, it's more in life than that.
You
something, holiness is a matter of the heart, ladies and gentlemen. Out of the heart proceed the issues of life. Out of the heart, out of the heart, out of the heart. Hey, guard the heart, out of the heart comes all those evil thoughts, adulteries and fornications and all that mess. Your heart can be right one place and be as dark and sin in the next place. God help us. Somebody said, are you mad? Yeah, it's the devil and sin. I'm telling you what God's done for this little handful. When you walk through that, and I started to say the front door, you'd have sawed your way in this morning, wouldn't you? You come through that side door back there this morning, friend. By the way, we might just leave the door back there. We might just board that up out front. You know why? It just dawned on me when I said that. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. When Noah built that ark, his door was in the side. Woo! Hallelujah to God! That door was in the side! Amen! That riven side of the Lord Jesus. That's the only way you're going to get Him. Maybe we'll just leave the side door around there. Say, enter into His side. Hallelujah to God. All that'll come be saved from the storm clouds that's gathered. I'm going to tell you another thought on me. Can I share this with y'all? I know I'm running rabbits, but I've got to dump that whole load. I got to thinking, coming back, Brother Robert, telling you about thinking about hell. And I was thinking about the world that was destroyed by water. And he talks about the world now that now is will be destroyed by fire. And I got to thinking, those that died in that flood, you reckon they're still dying in that flood? You reckon they're still dying in that flood? It might very well be, ladies and gentlemen. Well, see, he likens that flood to the wrath of God.
Amen.
And he likens the fire of the pit to the wrath of God also.
Amen.
God help us today.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm. That anchor. I won't say that anchor is unshakable. Amen to God. I won't say that anchor. Hey, and it's a rock. And you get this? But it's unsinkable. Somebody said, oh, how could a rock swim just like the iron in 2 Kings 6? And the iron did swim.
You ain't going to sink that rock, buddy. It's unshakable. It's unsinkable. It's unalterable. You ain't going to chip a bit of it off. I'm closing with this. I want to say fourthly. I also see in these verses the portrait of the sinner. I not only see the anchor of our salvation, I see the awaiting sinner and the anchor that secures me. Or the author of our salvation. The waiting sinner and the author, that's the anchor that secures me. But I also see the attitude of our heart. The Bible said, and hath put a new song in thy mouth, even praise unto our God. Brother Ricky asked me before service, said, preacher, can a man be saved and go through all of life unhappy? Well, I'm going to put it like this. Maybe you can, but what God give me, I can't.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the Burns got to singing up there. One but three of them, Miss Bonnie and Miss Naomi and Brother Harold. And I'm telling you, Miss Bonnie got to singing, oh, what a Savior is mine.
Yeah.
She only sang three verses of that song, just like she sang here. And I'm going to tell you, when she got done singing and started to walk around, something got a hold of my heart, buddy, and I stood up and I said, Miss Bonnie, I said, would you get him out of the grave? Would you get him out of the grave? And she stopped. She said, I said, there's another verse to that song. Don't leave him in the grave. Get him out of the grave.
Amen.
She went over and sat down in a minute and looked, and somebody said something, and somebody else got the testimony a little bit, and she said, I can't find it. And everybody else, and in a minute, she got up and started walking back to that piano. I said, she found it. And I'm going to tell you, Miss Naomi put down on that piano keys only as she can. And them ivory keys began to tickle. Miss Bonnie said, rising again in His infinite grace. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Something else, I forget the rest of it. You know the rest of it? Huh? Just shedding His light. Shedding what? Shedding the light or something in His glorious face. Oh, what a Savior is mine. And when she got on this note, I come unglued. Oh, what a Savior. I said, woo! Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine unto the uttermost. I can still see, oh, other Austin Pierre, unto the uttermost. He's wonderful and glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. You know why He had to rise again?
Wow, He had to come up out of that horrible pit with you and I on the anchor of His grace. Hallelujah to God.
Bringing us out. He descended into the pit. And He rose again out of the pit. And brought all of us old sinners. Woo, out of there with Him. Leave here today with a portrait of your deliverance embedded in the thought waves of your mind. Let's stand together.